Stereotypes can be a dangerous thing. In some situations, they can be painfully correct, and in others, they can be outrageously wrong. On occasion, you could be the exact person to fit into a stereotypical idea, or you can feel like everyone around you fits into an ideal and you yourself are the odd one out. I personally relate to the latter issue on an almost painful level. I come from East Texas, yet upon meeting people from up north, they guess I'm from a northern state because I don't act, look, or sound like someone from East Texas. I have yet to figure out if that is an insult or not. One of the first examples that comes to mind when I think about this sort of location-related identity crisis is when I traveled to New York for the first time. I flew up there alone because I was meeting a friend, so, alas, I ended up waiting in the line at LaGuardia for a taxi alone, too. Mind you, this is my first time to have ever been near a taxi. So, for those of you who haven't been through this process, there is a sort of taxi conductor who will ask you where you are going before you board one. I answered with the address I was going to and continued to wait. The woman in line behind me then asked me about things to visit in the city. She expressed that she wasn't from New York, but I looked and sounded like I was. I'm not sure if she thought I was from New York because I pronounced the street Houston instead of Houston, or if my what some would call hipster fashion seemed to fit into the place. My point is, it was weird to me to have to explain that I was as new to the city as she was. It seems to me that a location can affect how we think of personalities and appearance. In East Texas, there's a particular idea that we must all be country or conservative or just about anything typical Texan, whatever that is. Texas is such a large state that area by area has different stereotypes, and if you move from one to the other, you could fit right in or totally stand out. In this episode, I ask people, what is it like to be you here? I spoke to Tristan from Iowa, Madison from South Texas, and Scott from New Jersey. Each of them had different experiences and learned new things from being in new areas, and how humor, reactions to events, and family values differ across the state of Texas and across the United States. Let's dive into the differences here on Points of Interest. I'm your host, Emma Anderson.
So I was originally born in Des Moines, Iowa. My mom and dad had met when they were both going to school out in Utah. Then they went back to where all my family was from, which was Iowa. But then when they had gotten divorced, my mother remarried, and the man she remarried lived here in Texas. So we moved to Texas. I have 7 full-blooded siblings, 8 half-siblings, and 8 step-siblings.
Which is?
A number too big for my fingers. I believe that's 20 last time I counted, but math is hard. To put it in perspective, my hometown follows a lot of the discriminatory patterns of the pre-Civil War America and even the pre-Civil Rights Movement America. On our downtown area, there's a strip of shops that are all owned by white white owners. And then if you go to the back of those shops, there's actually other stores built in, and all of them are owned by African-American owners, and only African-American people shop there. And if you go back to the other side, only white people shop there. And this entire discriminatory idea is just embedded so thoroughly in my hometown that trying to mingle within other groups doesn't really work out.
So you have like natural accidental segregation.
Yes. And it's not segregation in the case that you're not allowed to go here. No one feels comfortable going there though. There was actually an instance when I first moved that my mother took me to the barber on the backside of Main Street. And as I walked in, the barbershop was filled with 4 African-American men and the African-American barber. And the barber looked me up and down and goes, "Sorry, I can't cut straight hair." Nice long pause as he's eyeing me. making sure that he wasn't saying anything that would be considered racist, as that's wrong, but that I wasn't really welcome there. And it was a place that I quickly left as I was extremely uncomfortable. The entire city, though, overall is just, like you said before, accidentally segregated. It's not necessarily intentional. No one's like, okay, you go here and you go here, but everyone goes where they're comfortable. But if you don't fall into the group where you're comfortable, then you're just uncomfortable everywhere. I think a big part of the racism, though, really stems from pride. Like I said before, people being proud of their heritage. But on the flip side, it turning into pride in their heritage being digging up old tensions that are long gone. If I had a nickel for every time I heard the South will rise again, I'd be a millionaire. Even the president, the former president of the Confederacy, had stated that, hey, this is bad and we never want this again. So this pride in your heritage can only go so far. And a lot of problem with the racism in America is that it's gone to the extremes. It's become your great ancestors discriminated against my great ancestors. So now you have to pay me back for what they did, which is discrimination. But then that just causes the cycle of discrimination to continue to where bad people are hurting other people for no reason other than what happened before.
Tristan makes some interesting points that are on some more than touchy subjects. Part of me considered if it was even ethical to include some of his thoughts in this recording, and then I realized that unaddressed situations never have solutions. Being uncomfortable where you are seems to be a common thing, especially if you don't relate to those around you. Everybody just wants to fit in. I can't say that I'm always comfortable. I constantly struggle to assimilate what is considered correct in Texas. But depending on where you are, a number of things could be correct. This is why the question, what is it like to be you here, can have so many different correct answers.
So here is Little Town Commerce. The campus is the main focus of this entire town.
Everyone tends to share common enough opinions on campus to not argue.
Well, you know, and the thing that I've noticed, though, about campus is, while in some cases that's true, it groups into, like my hometown was again, with people just falling with who agrees with them. And if you don't agree with them, they don't really tolerate you. So I've talked to a number of people on campus about a lot of current political issues. And if you don't share their opinion, they just stop. I've lost friends over it, remarkably, just because I'll say something that they don't agree with and they decide I'm a terrible person because of it. Opinions are opinions, guys. Everyone's entitled to their own, and if you don't agree with mine, you don't have to. But that doesn't mean you need to lose a friend over it. That's excessive to the extreme. Texas is definitely an interesting place to live, at the least, but I can't necessarily say that it's always the best place to live. It's not super accepting, like, at all. Texas is a state that is very proud to be Texas. Texas has a interesting and rich history that lots of people pretend to know, but very few people actually do. If you talk to your standard Texan, Texas was a nation and at one point, which is true, but it was the greatest nation ever, and they don't understand why it ever became a state when in reality there were a bunch of issues with the nation of Texas that no one wants to address. Texas is an interesting place to live, at the least. It's varied in its culture and its climate. If you don't like part of Texas, you can always go to a different part of Texas and it will be different. For the most part, it's okay until you get into Texas Pride, and then it becomes considerably less okay.
What do you think would have happened if Texas had stayed a nation? What would have happened to it?
It would have fallen to pieces. Economically, it couldn't sustain itself. So we wouldn't have had Texas as a state even. It would just be a collection of various states. In the beginning, there were 13 colonies, and they became smaller into each individual county. Well, the state of Texas and the nation of Texas probably would have ended up falling apart into their own little teeny tiny states, and Texas and its identity wouldn't exist anymore.
Tristan transferred to school in Texas at an odd time during middle school, so he had to take Texas history, because that wasn't something he took in Iowa. They didn't have to take Iowa history. So this was an interesting concept to him. And this was amusing to me. Considering I was born and raised here, Texas history wasn't a strange thing to be required to study in middle school. He ties everything to pride, both in heritage and state. There's nothing wrong with being proud, but yes, on occasion, it can go too far. One of his pet peeves is how the 2016 election affected students. He was in high school at the time, and I was also in school, miles across the state. Though honestly, I'd be lying if I said I didn't encounter similar situations.
When Trump was elected into office, a lot of people were praising some of the things he had said, and it caused a lot of confusion for me at the very least, because some of the statements being made, such as the border wall was a good idea, kind of just shocked me. And I've had discussion with a number of people about this. One of the people, for instance, that I grew up with going to high school, I talked to him, and he pointed out that this border wall would be a great thing, that it would stop a lot of crime, a lot of drug trafficking, and a lot of illegal activity. But when presented with, hey, this is how much this is going to cost the nation, it's actually physically impossible. We cannot afford in any way, shape, or form to make this border wall. It's entirely impossible. When he was presented with that, his only response was to term it fake news. And this kind of reaction has been elicited a number of times from people. I'll sit there and say, hey, here's how things are. Since we're having a discussion, let's just look at, hey, you can present your facts and I'll present mine. But instead of sitting there and arguing with facts, they just try to discredit what you say by calling it fake news, which it doesn't ever make any sense. And it just causes problems for any kind of discussion. And
you can't have a formal discussion because you're getting shot down like a middle schooler.
Pretty much. And it's not even like that it's just being shut down. It's like, it doesn't matter what you say. You could tell them 2 + 2 = 4. And if they say fake news, you can't sit there trying to prove how 2 + 2 = 4, because they don't understand that what they're saying doesn't actually make sense, because there's not that basic level of understanding of what makes a discussion. It becomes impossible to actually discuss anything with a number of people. Another incident that I've noticed of people ignoring the facts is the topic of the term GIF versus JIF. Now, it's spelled G-I-F, and it stands for graphical, so you'd think, hey, maybe it's pronounced with a hard G, and most of America accepts that. Most of the world accepts that. Most English speakers accept that. So how our English language works says that's how it should be said. But people don't understand that, so they continue to pronounce it incorrectly, and if you pronounce it the correct way, they'll attack you for it and start telling you you're wrong for all these reasons. But if you tell them, hey, well, here's my reason for being right, all of a sudden, fake news, you're doing it wrong. And just that entire argument just irks me to no end. And while I've experienced that in a couple of other places, it seems really strong in this southern region that we currently reside in.
Tristan's thoughts are so different from those of the second person I spoke to, Madison. She moved from South Texas to East Texas for school, and she learned how different regions of Texas could have different ideals and values.
I'm from Shiner, like I grew up in Shiner. Shiner is way down south, and there's probably like less than 1,000 people in the town, and my grandmother, my great-grandmother, all my family has always super been super conservative. The only people who aren't are my parents. And so I was raised completely different than the rest of my family. Like, it's just me growing up tolerant. I've learned different things than like my cousins have, than my parents have. And so living in a place like Shiner and then moving to Houston and then eventually to Austin, it was completely different. It was a culture shock. I was like, wow, I can do different things here. And so I'm like from a small town, but I don't claim it because that's not where I found myself. I've actually never been to East Texas before I came to school here. I had never even been to Dallas. It's just so much different. Like, I come from the country. My family comes from the country. But it's a different kind of country up here. My kind of country, yeah, they're conservative. Yeah, they're leaning more towards the Republican side. But here, it's as though if you're not Republican or conservative, like, what are you doing here, basically? And so I've spent times in Greenville and Roy City, stuff like that, even bigger cities like Rockwall. I've spent time, like, eating there, going to different, you know, events or whatnot. I've been with friends, and, you know, I act the way I do. That's just how I am. I'm loud. I'm rambunctious. Like, it's just that way. And all my friends are, too. And so we get looked at as though we're aliens, you know? Like, we're something from another planet. And so it's funny to go to different places around here and act the way I do when I'm back home in Austin with my friends and see, like, the difference in people. It depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about the actual campus, then the campus is very diverse. There's no one description for the campus. There's so many things you can find to do, so many different people you can find to hang out with. But if we're talking about Commerce as a town and not a college campus, then we're speaking on your traditional, older, more conservative type of place. There's a lot of small town people here that have always been here, families that have lived here for generations. So it's your typical small town. What is it like to be me here? I'm from Austin. The saying is keep Austin weird. I'm very liberal. I'm very tolerant. I have always learned to love everybody no matter what. I'm very outgoing, fun. I don't like to stay in the house a lot. I like to go out and find adventures and do stuff. What is it like to be me here? At first, it was different. There's a lot of people that don't come from my same background. And so it's hard connecting with a lot of people that do go to Commerce, Texas A&M Commerce, that are from around here, from around the small areas. There's a lot of people that don't fit my description that are actually polar opposite from me. And so it's kind of a challenge to be me here, like, completely. But I make it through. Okay, so me and my best friend, we had went to eat in Greenville, I think. I think we went to IHOP, and we were just hanging out, just having a really good night. We were watching movies all night, and then me and her decided that we wanted something to eat, so we decided to go to IHOP. It was really late, and it wasn't really late. It was probably like 11 o'clock, and so we went into IHOP, and we were both, like, laughing at something. I can't remember what it was for the life of me, but we were dying laughing at this, like, one subject that we had gotten on. And so we were in IHOP, like, still talking about it. We were calling people, like, asking them. It was like a debate. And we were calling people, talking to them about it, asking them what they thought, and we were still dying. And there were these old people in IHOP, like, older folks, and they were just looking at us and staring. It's like they didn't even care that they were staring. They didn't even register it. They were just staring at us. They didn't care. They were judging us. You could see it by the looks on their faces. We didn't care. We were just having fun. We were spending a good time together. But it was still, if I were to do that in Austin, go to IHOP in Austin with my best friend, we were loud. We were just hanging out. People wouldn't care because everybody there is loud. You hardly ever see older folks going out to IHOP at like 11:30. And so coming here and having that happen, it was just a culture shock. And I sat back and I was like, wow, the things that my parents told me that they went through, like, this is actually a real world issue. Like, people still haven't caught up. Like, it's 2017 and people are still judging other people. When who are you to judge? Because I know you've had your bad moments.
Madison is definitely a character, in a good way. She knows who she is, and she fills up a room like nobody I've ever seen. So I can understand how she stands out here. She believes that everyone's values come from how they were raised, which I think is a reasonable idea. It's human nature to have a trusted figure who you want to follow in the footsteps of. This makes me wonder how those teachers affect children and what makes a child change perspective.
Your parents are different from everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, both sides of my family, they've all grown up in the country. Shiner, Hallettsville, LaGrange, Victoria, all very small towns that I'm sure nobody knows about. And so they grew up very strict parents, very strict rules, but they got out and they vowed to never treat their kids like their parents, you know? And it's not that their parenting was bad, it's just, it's different. Like, as time goes on, like, everything evolves. And so they didn't want to be stuck in that same norm that they were stuck in during their childhood. They didn't want to stick me and my siblings in that same norm. And so they adopted a certain type of parenting, a way more tolerant type of parenting than the generations before them. And so me and my siblings, we're very, I'd call us like your typical millennials. It's just how it is. We were always raised to not look down on anybody. And it wasn't from like a religious standpoint at all. It was just, you're no different. We're no different than anybody else. We were maybe raised a different way, but we can't look down on them because that's how they were raised. We can't help the way that they were raised. And so that's just how we were always taught.
With any situation ever, if someone reacts in a different way, are you going to think it's probably how they were raised? Or
I'm a strong believer in you adapt to the environment that you're around. So if someone reacts to a situation differently than I would, and I see that, I'm probably going to assume it's because of the way they were raised. I'm not going to judge them by that, but I'm probably going to assume, oh, well, that's probably how their parents raised them. That's probably what they saw their whole childhood. Because when you're a child, you're very impressionable. And so that's your most impressionable years during your childhood. And so seeing people react differently in different ways, I'm going to assume that it's partly because of the way they were raised. Yeah. At some point, there's going to be somebody in the line who says, oh, I'm tired of the same old stuff, you know? Yeah. And so there's going to be somebody who's going to eventually make a difference, or it's going to be because somebody else came into their life and was like, hey, that's not how we've always done things. And so you might adapt to the way your best friend or your boyfriend or your childhood teacher, something like that. You might adapt to the way that they think, you know, or you might just get a fire in your butt and be like, I don't want to continue this because I don't like the way it's being put into place, you know. And so there's definitely people that are completely different from their parents. I thought I was so different from my parents for so long. I was like, no, I'm nothing like them. This is not, like, I love my parents, but I'm nothing like them. I'm not going to grow up to be them. But I'm actually exactly like my parents. I see so much of my mom and myself. So there's definitely, like, situations in where people can stray from the, I guess, guidance of their parents, because they feel like there's something more in a different way that people do things.
Two totally different people, two totally different ideas. Tristan thinks that pride affects values, and Madison looks at how children are raised to behave. Now, this episode is rather unique. There's two parts. I've discussed what it's like to be you here with college students, but I also spoke to an adult who moved to East Texas from New Jersey. He makes some really thought-provoking points that relate to the ideas these college students have mentioned. We discuss in depth being uncomfortable where you are and the acceptance of being uncomfortable. Check out part 2 of You Here with me, your host, Emma Anderson, on Points of Interest.
Points of Interest is produced by KETR-FM in Commerce, Texas. The executive producer is Jared Knight. Support for this podcast comes from its listeners. Show your support by donating at KETR.org today.